location at Pioneer Square in Portland, Oregon, dedicated to exploring the life of hip-hop in the Pacific Northwest. Our mission is to raise awareness on the positive influences and lifelong benefits that hip-hop culture has had on our homeless youth and our community. All proceeds and donations from Stories from the Streets will directly benefit New Avenues for Youth nonprofit artist mentorship project. There will be graffiti, breakdancing, DJing, and rapping. Artists include Soul Miner, The Resistance, Black Butterfly, Ancient Soul, Mike Crenshaw, Lucky I Am of Living Legends, and DJ Andy Sparks. More information can be found at kboot.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events. June 20th from 12 to 9 p.m. in Pioneer Square in downtown Portland.
This is KBOO Portland. It's 10 o'clock, time for Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre.
Cascadia. Today is Friday, June 20th, 2014, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. We've got a few headlines for you coming right up, and we'll also be speaking with Adam Sultani on the Muslim youth group get-together that is of great significance this year. It's the sixth year they've been doing this, and this year, of course, what we're going to talk about is when the U.S. finds itself in the throes of a crisis that it itself is responsible for. It may be far, far away in Iraq, a place most people still can't find on a map of the world, but nonetheless, the ripples from that conflict touch our own shores, and in oftentimes in many ways that are unpredictable, and they affect people who are not necessarily always the best equipped to cope with those misfires. It's now, of course, the youth in many ways who are leading the march to extend a hand to the American people and to try to enlighten those whose minds are closed and who have not seen nothing but a threat in anything even suggestive of Islam. And so we'll be looking forward to speaking with him. This because each year the Southern Poverty Law Center locates hate groups on a nationwide map, pinpointing organizations dedicated to exactly that, to exploiting the innate homegrown bigotry, racism, and discrimination that we know lurks not always that far under the surface here. So from that perspective, we're going to be taking a look at some of the efforts that have been made recently. There was an arrest of a chap who was a member of one of these groups, recently. We want to talk a little bit about that also. First, though, let's get through some of the rest of the headlines for the region, salmon protection here, and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, always at loggerheads, the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation, which operates dams. This is the seventh challenge since a lawsuit was originally filed back in 2001, and once again, salmon advocates find themselves back in court trying to defend when we defend a species, let's not forget, we're also defending habitat, and this is a habitat that we happen to share with salmon. When it crashes and burns, we do too, and we forget that. We are walking, in the sense we are walking, we are the walking dead, because we are in the process of crashing and burning our very own habitat. Yesterday afternoon, the Middle East Issues Committee of the Presbyterian Church of the USA voted decisively, the day before yesterday, 45-20, to endorse divestment from three companies, Caterpillar, Motorola, Hewlett-Packard. All three, of course, play a role in the Israeli occupation of Palestine. Again, what we're talking about here is the effects far, far away from us, and the coming home to roost. These are companies that are huge, and in many respects, we support them because they are part of the American economy, and as consumers, we are the American economy. Supporting these companies, divesting from them, does have a huge effect. And the Presbyterian Church, whatever you think of organized religion, does have some clout in this country. When they walk away from these companies and advocate divestment, that has significance far, far afield. So moving right along, moving from salmon to Caterpillar, Motorola, and Hewlett-Packard, the Obama White House Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs held the majority of its meetings on the proposed federal oil by rail. We talked about that yesterday. The White House now, let's call it what we called it the other day when we spoke with Steve Horn, bomb trains. The White House has temporarily seemed to have forgotten that in the midst of our current crisis in the Middle East, where the worry, of course, is that flow of oil is going to be disrupted. Indeed, it already has. Prices on international markets are already beginning to shift. Back to here's what I wanted to find and let you know about. The sovereign citizen and chap was arrested for an Oregon woman's murder, finally, at last. This guy, Gary Allen Lewis, a survivalist murder suspect, sought in the murder of a woman whose body was found in an underground bunker-equipped home. This is like some kind of a Cronenberg film. He was arrested this week, late yesterday. Gary Allen Lewis appeared in the jail book. He dyed his hair red. He's pretty astonishing-looking character in the case, but I feel okay mentioning that, since if it was a woman who'd done this, we'd know what color his shoes were. He was arrested without incident after someone tipped off the police. The arrest occurred in the Roseway neighborhood, northeast Portland, and not far from where the remains of the victim, Renee Sandy Jacrell, were found. Lewis was reportedly stockpiling his underground bunker with water and food and dead bodies, apparently, getting ready for the imminent collapse of the government. And back again, just wanted to get that in there. Sometimes policing does, in fact, work. And in this case, they rounded the guy up. I, for one, am glad that he's off the streets. However, as more and more Americans are concerned about what's going on in Iraq and how it is, in fact, going to affect them, we're going to be speaking with Adam Sultani, of the Council of American Islamic Relations this morning, about a youth group. This is the sixth annual Muslim Youth Leadership Symposium. It kicks off today. This is happening at the University of Central Oklahoma, and it is of greater interest this year, perhaps because of what is going on in the rest of the world. Good morning, Adam. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, this is a symposium which is, in previous years, is kind of quiet, intellectual thing. I'm wondering, though, as we talked about ripples from far afield touching our shores, and it's so often youth groups who start the conversation right away, because it will indeed, there has been and continues to be a violence against Muslims across the country, and it tends to spike whenever something like what's happening in Iraq right now, whenever that is in the news. So I just wondered what the symposium is going to be talking about this year, how young people I understand come from all over the country to take part in this, and you've got some amazing speakers from CARE and other organizations. Will you talk a little bit about the symposium and why it is significant for Muslims everywhere in the U.S. right now?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the symposium, we started it years ago as a way to encourage and empower young Muslims particularly, but we've had a lot of people who aren't Muslim attend the symposium as well, because the skills and the resources we provide the young people who range from age 17 to 25 will allow them, the opportunity to serve the community in various capacities, whether serving on the grassroots and on the ground or organizing rallies at their universities, organizing speaking engagements with interfaith leaders and so on. And we've seen our youth go forth and do these things throughout the years. But as you were talking about, the things happening throughout the Muslim world, I think we've seen a huge increase in the last 2 years in our applicants and our attendance for this symposium because of what is going on around the world, starting with the Arab Spring years ago and with all these things. Lately, we've got the Boko Haram doing things that are obviously anti-Islamic and things that organizations like CARE have condemned that don't represent American Muslims. And I think the kids, the young people, have taken an interest because they don't know how to challenge these myths and misunderstandings and stereotypes that arise from situations like this. And what we really call and term as Islamophobia, that's what happens in our country here in the United States as a result of what goes on around the world. A lot of Americans get misinformation from the media. They don't understand why Boko Haram is kidnapping girls or why a U.S. ambassador was killed in Benghazi back in 2012 and so on. And it manifests itself as Islamophobia. And I think the young people are really interested in how they can challenge that and challenge what we call organized hate that we've seen on college campuses and in places, even in Oklahoma, as we saw in 2010 with the passage of the anti-Sharia amendment. So long story short, a lot of the skills we're giving them this year in particular are focusing on Islamophobia, how they can represent themselves as individuals and as groups as American Muslims, and how they can combat organized hate.
We just have a very few minutes left. I know a lot of people here, a lot of Muslim students, particularly at Portland State University, are interested in the symposium. One question that I have that I'd like to ask CARE representatives or Muslim representatives whenever I can. It seems to me in this country that people only look at instances of violence when they seek to characterize Islam or Muslim people. You never hear about things that have happened, successes, achievements, accomplishments, work in the field of peace and negotiations, as in Israel and Hamas and Fatah decided to lay down their differences. And we don't hear about positive. Muslims are not characterized by their positive works. It seems that there is a current of hatred simply looking for you know, a spark, that all of this focus on instances of violence is merely an excuse to express fear and hatred, xenophobia of people that some in this country consider different. What did the people that at the symposium, young people, say about that?
You're talking about the atmosphere. Oh, you're talking about how.
What do they talk about when they talk about the hatred that they see in people's eyes?
Right, exactly. I think the number one thing on the minds of young people, young American Muslims, is how can they put their voice out there? Because that's what's not being heard. The vast majority of not only American Muslims, but the vast majority of Muslims throughout the world believe in peace, believe in cooperation, believe in doing things that support justice and unity and equality. These instances of violence and extremism are definitely the minority of 1.8 billion people in the world. And I think the young people want to know how they can put their voice out there, especially when the media doesn't listen to it. You know, Fox News has the highest viewership of any 24-hour news channel in the United States. And it's also the source of a lot of this Islamophobia that we see, unfortunately, being manifested in the last few years.
Adam, we're out of time, so I hate to cut you off. I apologize for that.
No problem.
We want to follow along and find out what's being said at this meeting, and what young people, young Muslims, are thinking about the current situation. But can you give us the website, the source, resources to go to?
Sure. Yeah, careoklahoma.com, careoklahoma.com. You can get updates as well as facebook.com/careoklahoma and our Twitter account, which is twitter.com/careoklahoma, and we'll be updating throughout the weekend.
Thank you very, very much for that. This has been Air Cascadia for Friday, June 20th, 2014. Sam Parrish engineered the show today. Thanks for that, Sam. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.